please turn to Luke. We'll start off in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we'll start off in verse 5. This is after the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is another parable. So verse 5 starts off with, anybody there? You think this was hard to get to. Wait till I, there's one I'm going to later. Luke chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves." Does anybody have a friend like that? "For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." So if that was me, I'd probably say, "That's your problem, pal." Not really. If it was one of you, I'd help you out. But that's a big ask, don't you think? "And I have nothing to set before him, and he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed." Why are you in bed with your children? "I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend," because he has an annoying friend, he's not going to do it, "but because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." And that word importunity is interesting. It means, basically means annoyingness. Webster has it as a persistence to the point of annoyance. But in the Bible, it means insistence rising to the point of shamelessness. So it's asking for things in great shame, and you're going to give it to them because you don't want to be pestered anymore by them. Where was I?
Verse 8.
I'm in 9 now. "And I say unto you, ask," verse 9, "and shall be given, and given you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you." I read the wrong verse, sorry. Did I read verse 8? I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, basically what he's saying, God is saying here, is that he's going to give to us when we ask him. And it's not annoying to God for us to ask him for things. He wants us to keep asking, not feel like, you know, we are pestering him, not feel ashamed for asking him. He wants us to ask him. Go to Luke. Oh, we're in Luke. In chapter 18. Another wonderful set of scriptures here. Luke 18. Another parable, verse 1, we'll start. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men." He was a big shot. "And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while." He thought about it. He said, "No, I'm not going to do it." But afterward, he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her." Because this widow is going to keep pestering me and annoying me, I'm going to do this. "I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." She's just going to keep breaking me down. "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear a long time with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" So, again, God is saying here in his word that we can go to him anytime with anything on our hearts according to his word, which we're going to see in a little bit here too. And that word elect is just beautiful. It means his favorite, his chosen. That's what we are to God. We're his favorite. we're his chosen one. And then that word speedily is, it means in time. So when we go to God and we need something from him that, that's according to his word, as we keep going to him and believe that he's going to do it, he's going to do it for us in due time. I have this little thing I got from, I think it was Blue Letter Bible, but it says, by shameless insistence, a favor may be won, even from one unwilling and ungracious. That was the unjust judge and the friend who was in bed with his children. Even from, that's who they are. But still more surely will God answer the earnest prayer of his people. Again, he doesn't get annoyed for asking him. We got to just keep going to him. We never have to go to him sheepishly. We can go to him in great confidence. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit here now. In Isaiah 43, that's not the hard verse, so rest assured. Isaiah 43. And in verse 2 and 3. Everybody there? It says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine.
Sorry, Donnie.
Isaiah 43.
Oh, he started in one.
I knew that. I started at one. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So we'll read verse 2. How's that? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. We know a few records of that, right? Or a record of that. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. So God's got us covered. All we have to continue to do is go with him in great confidence, knowing that he wants to take care of us and that we're not annoying to him when we ask. If you go to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And that cast not away means to don't forget. God doesn't want us to forget our confidence toward him and the things that he's already done for us. Everybody in this room has had some kind of heartache, I'm sure, but everyone in this room also has had some wonderful things happen that God did for us. And that's what he wants us. He doesn't want us to throw that away. He wants us to keep that confidence. What God has done in your life, he just wants us to keep remembering it. And then the things that God has done for us, no evil being or no man can ever take that away from us. Because it's something that God did, and it's wonderful. In Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6, says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is there anything else that we need in this life that wasn't in this little verse right here? That word content means to be suffice. It's enough that we have him. It's enough that we have a God that doesn't get annoyed at us for asking. And then in verse 6, it says here that we may sheepishly say,
boldly.
Say that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we have this great God that wants to take care of us. He wants us to boldly go to Him and ask Him for things that we need. He knows we need these things in our lives. So that's what we can do. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask how many things?
Anything.
But here's the catch. According to His will. So that's limited, right? No. That's the thing, the thing we got to keep doing in our lives is find out what is according to His will. And we'll find out, when we find stuff like that out, we'll find that it's more over and above anything that we can ever ask or think that we need in this life. So, we have confidence that if we ask anything according to His will, not ours, remember that, He heareth us. His will, not our. And that word heareth is great too, because He gives us audience. He's paying attention to what we're speaking. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So those are pretty cool. So we can go to Him, and when we need confidence, He can give us confidence. And then any kind of basic trouble, which we're going to go, this is the hard one, right? Nahum, chapter 1. I cheated. I couldn't. It was hard to find because. But anyway, I could just read it too. You don't have to turn there. But the thing is, you're going to have to believe that I'm reading right there. In Nahum chapter 1.
Right after Micah.
Before Habakkuk.
Page 965.
Habakkuk.
Mine's 1110. Sorry, John. Anyway, start in verse 1.
What chapter again, please?
Of chapter 1, sir. Okay. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries, and He reserveth wrath for His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind, and in the storm, and in the clouds, and the dust of His feet. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh it dry, and drieth up the rivers. Bashan languisheth. Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at Him. So we got a pretty powerful God, right? We've seen God's power work in our life. And the hills melt, and the earth is burned, and His presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before His indignation, and who can abide in His fear, in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. And this wonderful verse, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. So that's a great God. He helps us in the day of trouble, and we all has had trouble, and we've all had Him help us in the day of trouble, like no one else can. And that word knoweth means to observe, to care for, and recognize. He recognizes us when we're in need, and even when we're not in need, He takes great care of us. And the word trust means to flee for protection. So we got a great God that in anything in this life that comes about, we can go to Him for comfort, protection, and He takes care of us. In 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, it's easy from now on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 8. Here's something great. We are troubled on every side. That's troublesome, isn't it? Yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Why is that? Because we have a great God that takes care of us in every situation. That word troubled means to be crowded in. How many people like to be crowded in? Nobody. Or perplexed means that there's no way out. But because we have God, because we believe and trust in Him, we always have a way out. Please go to Psalm 138. Right before 139. Psalm 138.
Darn, is that after 137?
Yes. Thanks, Anthony. Thanks for clearing that up.
Thank you.
See, now you made me miss my spot. Psalm 138, verse 7 and 8. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth for just a couple of seasons. It endures forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. In Psalm 31, not 131, 31. Psalm 31. And in verse 7, it says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Thou hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Thou hast not shut me up. Thou hast delivered. He delivered us into the hand of the enemy. He won't deliver us into their hands. He will always take care of us. He will always see to it that we always have a way to escape. And again, we don't have to ever feel that we go to God sheepishly. We're not annoying Him or anything like that. In Psalm 9, verse 10, it says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. So what's a good key here if you don't want to be forsaken?
Seek
the Lord. And that's something all you wonderful people do in your lives, and that's just speaks loudly. That we want to seek the Lord. There's a lot of people that don't and have many troubles and can't get out of them, but we can because we seek God. And again, in Psalm 94, verse 14. Oh, this is great. It says, for the Lord will not cast off his people. He'll never cast us aside because we're seeking him. Neither will he forsake his inheritance. Could you imagine that? We're God's inheritance. And when you have an inheritance, what? You rejoice over it, right? You take care of it, and that's what God does for us. Go to Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. This is our Lord speaking. it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." So we got that going for us too. He's with us always. Not always with us, but he's in us, helping us and guiding us and taking care of our every need. And then, and we'll close out here in James chapter 1. Well, not really. I saw another verse there. Sorry. But anyway, James, we all know this word. I can find it. James chapter 1. In verse 5, we can ask God, you know, we've all read the Word, and we try to study the Word, live the Word, and we can ask God for wisdom. And in verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him," what?
"Ask
of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." And I love that word abradeth, because that means to defame or to taunt. So when we ask God for stuff, he's not going to taunt us and say, "Oh, well, you know, you guys asked for this too many times, or you going here again? You know, you got to settle down with your asking." No, he wants us to. He wants us to go to him. We can't go to him too much. We don't go to him enough. So now to really close in Psalm 145. Yes, ma'am. 145. Sorry. Psalm 145. And in verse 16, it says, "Thou openest thy hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, and that call upon him in truth." So I'd like to say that we have a God, the God of the open hand and not the closed fist, you know, and we have, he always wants to give to us, he always wants to take care of us. And again, I guess if I was going to title this teaching or sharing, is that we're not annoying to God when we ask. So, okay?